Welcome to the Main Street Business Insight Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Wagner, Chief Program Officer at Main Street America, a nonprofit leading a collaborative movement dedicated to strengthening communities through place-based economic development and community preservation. Each week, join me as I travel the country and take a deep dive into the personal journeys of downtown and neighborhood entrepreneurs, the stories that far too often go unnoticed and unheard. Whether you're a small business owner who wants to learn from your peers, or a community leader looking to better support your local business base, Main Street Business Insights is here to provide you with the tools, strategies, and personal stories to help you and all of your Main Street businesses thrive. So subscribe now and tune in every Wednesday to get inspired by the individuals driving our communities forward. Welcome, everyone, to Episode 7 of Season 2 of the Main Street Business Insight Podcast. And today's podcast finds me in Amarillo, Texas, with Nikki Fleetwood and Mackenzie Hodges, owners of Scratch Made Bakery. This growing and scaling business, famous for its homemade Pop-Tarts, yes, you heard me correctly, Pop-Tarts, and co-owning winner of the Food Network Cupcake Wars, now also includes a new coffee shop and event space. Like most businesses highlighted on the podcast, this journey has a rather fascinating backstory to it. My travels to Amarillo were actually the result of a call for nominations by Main Street directors of businesses they thought should be on the podcast. And Beth Duke from Center City Amarillo made a really compelling case that highlighted this really wonderful and special historical connection between one of Amarillo's most famous historical figures and the modern-day contributions of Nikki and Mackenzie to Main Street's progress. You see, the story of Scratch Made Bakery lies on the foundation built by one of the United States' most successful female entrepreneurs and philanthropists. As we share the Scratch Made Bakery story, it's really important to know in this month of celebrating women's history, the story of one Miss Melissa Dora Oliver Eckel, often called the Duchess of Amarillo. First arriving in Amarillo in the 1890s as a principal stockholder of the Mississippi Mills, which at the time was the largest textile mill in the South. It was said that she had more money than all the local banks combined and used her personal wealth to aid many businesses throughout Amarillo. However, at that time, she had to do so under the moniker M.D. Oliver so that beneficiaries didn't know she was a woman. In 1927, she financed and built the Oliver Eckel Building, which became Amarillo's first skyscraper at 10 stories tall. Now, fast forward, and today that building serves as the restored Barfield Rest Hotel, and together with Scratch Made Bakery, have been the spark behind downtown Amarillo's resurgence and redevelopment. What becomes clear in my interview is that Miss Oliver Eckel's legacy truly lives on through Beth and Nikki and Mackenzie, Amarillo's downtown new visionaries. So hope you enjoy this special conversation, and of course, we'll see you on the other side. Welcome, Nikki and Mackenzie, to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
So we're coming from, you know, your business here at Scratch Made Bakery, Center City Amarillo,
yes,
on 6th Street. Yeah. Great connector to the historic Route 66,
absolutely,
right? And before we begin, I have to do a shout out to Beth Duke from Center City, right?
Absolutely.
Round of applause.
Of
what folks won't know on the podcast was that the reason why I'm here is Beth nominated you. I like to say within, like, because of millions of applications out there.
Of course.
But maybe just a little bit lower than that. But we ran a little bit of contest for our Main Street directors to select a business that they felt was someone that you would just make for a great podcast. You all want it, you know? So there's a little bit of history of award winning here. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we first start out just telling us a little bit about your journey?
Sure. Well, at this point, it's been quite the journey. So, it was a moonlit night, and we were walking on the beach.
This is storytelling.
In Amarillo, Texas.
In Amarillo, Texas. don't know.
No. So we both had baking experience in the past, and we just kind of, by happenstance, Nikki ended up in Amarillo. We met each other through some mutual friends and both had a love of baking, and Thanksgiving happened.
Thanksgiving
is what did it.
Oh, yeah.
I was baking from home. I had a very small kitchen. Nikki had this space that she had opened when she moved here. And so we figured if we combined forces, we could make more money and do more business. And then we did it, and we never stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's that hustle, I suppose, would be our connection.
Yeah. Like there was a capitalism connection.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cash rolls everything.
We can make more money.
Yes. Yes.
That was
absolutely.
That's awesome. You started Scratch Me Bakery in 2015. What was sort of the initial vision? What was the thought behind that? What were you trying to accomplish with the bakery?
Sure. Honestly, I think it goes back to that love of baking. And I think she and I are both hustlers. Right? We have that competitive edge. And we felt like that was the moment for us. It was almost
together
that
we could do more.
We could tackle more. We could approach more. We could do more. We could be more. And we're a good team. So I think that was the initial spark, I suppose.
Every business has competition, mm-hmm. and I wonder, as you think about the bakery business,
sure.
What's your sort of niche? What's your competitive advantage?
Well, we're both adorable. No, I'm kidding.
Of course.
Kidding. In all honesty, I think I don't think she and I ever felt like we had anyone to compete with. It was more a competition with ourselves. That we both had goals and we both had dreams, and together we could do more. And I think that was our competitive edge, that it wasn't about anybody else. It was just about us.
Well, and I think it started with, we both had our own businesses separately. Mm-hmm. So Nikki had her style and I had my style. Mm-hmm. And I guess in a way we could have been competition for each other here in town. But instead of seeing it as that, we took it on as you do something and I do something, and those combined, we can create a great product. So I baked at home and I decorated and did the full process, but the baking part of it wasn't my favorite part. The decorating part was my
favorite. It's my favorite part, and I don't want to decorate ever at all for any reason.
No, she doesn't want to touch something that's decorated.
I don't.
Really was when we met, and it wasn't like we weren't butting heads. She wasn't trying to do what I was doing. I wasn't trying to do what she was doing. We really both were just thinking, let's combine forces and make it like a powerhouse of a team who can do baking and decorating. And then we took on new things. We tried new items that we had never baked before.
That's how we fit. She's constantly pushing to be better, and I'm constantly pushing to be better. But we're also constantly pushing to be better for one another.
This sounds a little bit like a business marriage.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
We're in it. This
oh,
is a
yeah.
Commitment.
We are married. We are married. It's a wonderful, wonderful marriage thus far.
Yes.
It's been
excellent.
Great. Yeah.
Excellent.
Hard. All the time.
Oh, yeah.
But
all the time.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that what didn't come up and what people will actually be able to see in the film component of the podcast is what's right behind me.
Yes.
And when we first started talking, probably 2 months ago, I think, I was so jazzed about Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
Okay. Like growing up as a kid in the Midwest, you had Pop-Tarts, and then I sort of lost touch with my inner podcast. You know.
Yeah.
Of course. And talk to me about how Pop-Tarts came to be.
Sure. So it's first of all, they're a super, super fun treat. In all honesty, we were doing a wholesale account with a business in town called Palace Coffee. And if you get the opportunity to give them a try, they're awesome. Again, it goes back to not super worried about competition, where there's constantly business for everyone and we want everyone to succeed. But within that wholesale account, one of their requests was that we provide them with a few baked goods because they didn't want to make them in-house. And so one of those huge things was Pop-Tarts. And this began quite the journey of making Pop-Tarts. And they have just sort of become super, super niche, super fun, super frivolous. You should see people's faces when they just see the term and they're like, oh my God, you guys have house-made Pop-Tarts. And it's like, we do, and we hand roll and we hand cut and we crimp and we press and we fill and we make all of the components from fillings to glaze. And as you can see, they're just a really fun piece of our childhood done really, really well.
And it's somewhat more of like a hand pie situation, like we fill it with our coconut cream pie filling. We do everything that we already did here, we incorporate into the Pop-Tart pastries that we're making. So
that makes it uniquely ours.
It is.
They're ours.
It is.
Yeah.
Your own stamp.
Yeah, and we kept them online. Just we keep them because they're wonderful and we're darn good at them. So we're just going to keep doing it and keep being creative with them and hopefully continue touching people's childhoods, I guess, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice feeling.
Live testimonial. I just bit into a blueberry Pop-Tart.
Hey. Yes.
Delish.
Good.
Delish.
Yes. Good.
It's not every day that I get to sit down, Nikki, with a winner of the Food Network's Cupcake Wars.
Sure.
You know?
Yes.
And I feel honored. And there'll be like autograph session after.
Oh yeah, kissing babies, shaking
hands.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. Tell us a little bit about what that experience was like.
Sure. I was actually I was in North Carolina at the time, so I moved. I grew up in Fort Worth. I moved to North Carolina when I was 20 years old. So that's how I applied. I reached out, and that was a goal of mine. I had been baking for 1 year, and I literally just thought to myself, what can I do? What can I achieve? I've always been competitive by nature, and so I've always wanted to be the best and do the best that I possibly can and to challenge myself. And I just Googled it. It's just simple Google search. How do I get on with Cupcake Wars? One of the many sites that I saw to simply send in an email of inquiry. And thus began quite the journey. It was quite the application process. It was a multi-process, written, personal, email, video, and that's how it got started. And so I was accepted to go on the show. I was invited to come on to the show. I was invited to come on to the Mary Poppins episode. And you want to talk about an experience of a lifetime. I don't know that I would... I say I'd never do it again. Again, I go back to being competitive. And if I have to do it again and we get to go do it, we will go and do that. I would never have seen Los Angeles if it weren't for that opportunity, which for me was such a big part of that because it really changed the way that I saw downtowns and it changed the way that I saw the way that people communicate and focus and function in a town. City, if you will, because New Bern, North Carolina, was somewhat of a smaller town, if you will. And so the experience was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It was challenging without a doubt. I'm grateful that I did it. But I don't know that I rely on any of those experiences outside of what temporary life experience it was.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm better now at what I do than I was then. I feel like I'm better equipped to manage those sorts of things now and that type of experience. But I do get to say that I did win an episode of Cupcake Wars, hands down. It's a really cool thing that I did, but it's not something that we bring up in everyday conversation, and it's not something that we particularly rely on for business. So as awesome as it was, it's not.
I think that's one of the things that struck me just coming in to the business this morning. I think a lot of people probably would have had some sort of like banners all over the place and
100%.
Use it as a huge marketing
kind
of thing. And I'm sort of like interested in why you all made that decision, maybe not to run with that.
First of all, I'm going to open with, if we have to tell people how good we are, we're probably not that good. We feel like our product speaks for itself. Our personalities speak for themselves. Our hard work speaks for itself. I don't know how I feel when I walk into a place and they are continuously boasting about the things that they've done 10, 12 years ago. To me, it's relevant mentally, and we do bring it up, and it's super cool, but it's not something that we rely on. It was also a thing that I did in North Carolina before I moved here. It was before I had met Mackenzie, and so when she and I partnered in business, it's this really cool thing that I did, but I don't feel like I want to be known for what we're doing now. And she and I have collected many awards together as well. And those are going to be more relevant. And as you see, they're not posted around either. And maybe one day we'll grow up and put in a really cool wall of our accomplishments. We do. Her mom is so awesome. She frames them and they're beautiful. And it's really spectacular. And we talk about having a wall of appreciation for ourselves one of these days. But for now, it's just hard work and determination.
Yeah. I think it's a good lesson for other business owners, though, just in the mere fact that you don't rely sort of on the laurels or the past, that you always have to be shaping your reputation and your brand.
Adapt.
And you've got to stay with it.
Oh, yeah.
We do.
We have to adapt all the
time. And we're currently working on that, too, because it's just different now. Yeah. After COVID and everything, there were just so many changes that we decided that we needed to make another adjustment to our logo and the entire look of the place. We really want to shift with the newer aesthetic of everything. We kind of got stuck with what we started with because it's what we had to start with.
So we had to work with.
We have an excess of money. We were pulling from our personal accounts and, you know, decorating as we could.
Garage sale chic, if you will.
Yes.
we're growing up now, but it's,
is that a new
it's
term?
Taken a while. Oh, yeah. Yeah, here we are, guys. Garage sale chic. Yes, sir.
That's great. Yeah. One of the things that I discovered, and I'll shout out to Ken, who's doing the filming right now, because he led me down this route, as he does many routes, was around the history of Amarillo. And in particular, a lady by the name of M.D. Oliver, from the early 19th century, really built this incredible wealth as an entrepreneur and a financier of many of the projects in and around Center City here. In fact, the hotel that I stayed in last night was a result of her work. And as we go across the country and look at our main streets around the US, we are finding just this massive boom of women entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And I wonder how you think about your role as women and what you see around Center City. Do you feel sort of a responsibility regarding that legacy here in Amarillo?
You want to take that one?
I don't know. Yes, I want to say that we do. It is awesome being a woman-owned business. We utilize it as much as we can in the way of presenting our business and ourselves, and we really support all of our other women-owned businesses. But saying that, I don't know that it is as much of a big deal or that anybody acknowledges it necessarily here as much as it could be acknowledged here. I do think that we still kind of go under the curtain, if you will, maybe. And a lot of people don't even know who owns what business here. They don't. It's hard. It's hard in Amarillo.
I'm going to be honest. I think it's fair to say that the idea of living in a man's world is not the same as even when we were kids and when we grew up.
No.
She and I didn't roll into owning a business thinking we are going to be strong women-owned businesses.
We were just trying to
get by, pay some bills. But We are a woman-owned business, and we are a successful woman-owned business. And but till recently, we had all women on staff. So my son works
for
with
years.
Us, and then we've had a couple of men come in and out. But ultimately, we're just two hardworking gals that are just trying to make a living doing what we love to do. Being that we're women is super interesting. Being downtown as a woman-owned business, I don't know that I can think of any off the top of my head
around us
that are a woman-owned business. Everything else is going to be owned by men outside of the restaurant across the street from us, woman-owned business.
OHMS.
OHMS is an excellent spot.
And she's been there for years.
But I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. So you know what? I guess we stand out in a crowd and we just haven't realized it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here we are,
yeah.
Just, you know.
We've never really been approached in a way that makes us feel like special for being a woman-owned business. You know, it's just we just happen to have a business because that's what we were good at, and the only way to thrive in this industry is to.
And we've
have
only
a bakery.
Ever been women, so to us, it's just. I mean,
it's natural.
Yeah, if you're going to work hard at something, at least work hard at what you love to do, and we've both been fortunate enough to do that, and we just happen to be women.
But we did. I mean, we've won a Women of Distinction Award.
We sure did.
Beth Duke has been fantastic.
The governor
with us
signed off on it. That was a really cool experience. Yeah.
So we've had some really nice perks because of it.
Yeah,
but
and we've done some work in the past with some. We work with the Girl Scouts every year. They have a luncheon for Girl Scouts and whatnot. We used to work with Patsy's Place, which is a home for previously incarcerated women. It's the Sharing Hope Ministries. Mm-hmm. And we would hire them on, and they would come in
with us on work. Saturdays.
And so we work with women in that way too. But I don't know that that was ever intentional as much as it was just a natural progression towards, you need help, I need help, let's work together as a team, which I think is how we've mm-hmm. approached business from the very beginning.
Yes.
Excellent. And you were talking earlier on about kind of some of the changes that you've been making. And we saw this, again, another sort of link to other trend lines across the country mm-hmm. was post-COVID, during COVID, post-COVID, we call it that.
Yes,
You know, the businesses were having to make a lot of shifts out there. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about some of your strategies over the last few years and
sure.
where you see the business going.
Survival at its finest, absolutely. COVID changed the way that we do a lot of things. It changed the way that we communicated with our customers. Mm-hmm. It changed the way that we provided our product to the public. It changed the way that we worked with our employees. It changed the way that you woke up every single day worrying about someone having a positive COVID test and having to worry about closing your business for two weeks at a time. And again, neither one of us come from a large amount of money, and everything that we've had to work hard for and roll into the business. Now, the changes that we made, Mackenzie, we work very well together, but she's probably the brains of the operation. She had, you know, really started pushing that to-go order. And at the time that we were doing brunch, she would stand out there and hand deliver food to people so they wouldn't have to come in. And she'd run out there and take payments so people wouldn't have to come in and they could be comfortable. But
okay, but Nikki was in the kitchen cooking the food.
So yes, we are a very, very even Steven team. But
it was a collective effort to continue to provide the baked goods for everyone, even though we couldn't really allow them in.
Yeah. We had to adapt and work together. And there were, on more than one occasion, where an employee tested positive for COVID, and it was just the two of us stuck wearing masks trying to get baked goods out and trying to get food to everybody. But we rolled through that together, and we rolled through it with grace, and we're so grateful that we came out looking at business different than we used to. Mm-hmm. It changed the way the communication was with customers. And for us, it's a lot of our business and a lot of our business model is based off of those relationships, because people that do business with us know us. They knew us all through COVID, and they're rooting for us. And I think that's how we were able to come out successfully, was that core being of, we're part of this community. People want us to be part of this community, and they continued to support us through COVID. And we had to use our brains and hard work just to get us by. So
you've one of the outgrowths of that has been thinking about business in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the bakery, but we're in a newer spot
on
something that's happening. Mm-hmm. You've got other plans. Could you talk a little bit about how the business is evolving?
Yes.
Sure.
So we were presented with an awesome opportunity a little over 2 years ago now, where just across the way from the bakery is the First Bank Southwest Tower. It's the tallest building in Amarillo.
Can see it from anywhere.
In the lobby of that is a little coffee shop, and they've had it there for years and years. But over the past maybe 8 years, 10 years, they've just had a lot of turnaround. There's been a lot of in and outs, and they can't keep someone in the space, but it truly caters to the building itself.
It does.
And we were approached by one of the management
agents,
offices there. Yeah. And they just said, we see you. Mm-hmm. We know you hustle. We know you girls work hard. Is there any way you would be willing to pop in here and start something and try to just cater to the building?
Yeah.
And that was kind of just shortly after
COVID
and everything, and we were trying to make brunch work for us and not have too much staff but not too little staff and still be able to pay for everything, and we felt like that would be a good opportunity to stretch us a little bit further. People don't walk in downtown Amarillo like they do in other downtowns.
That's a huge thing.
They're not willing to park a block and walk to get somewhere. They want front row parking all the time. So we had to make those adjustments here, but we thought that maybe there with a built-in clientele, it would make it a little bit.
And it sure has. I think it's uniquely suited for us to be successful. We have so many offerings over there that just kind of allowed us to stretch our creative legs, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
coffee is something that we both love, but never a game in which we thought that we would play. It just sort of naturally evolved into this. Do you girls want to take over this space and see if y'all can make it work? And we surely did. We figured it out, kind of like we do everything else the hard way. But either way, it's ours.
Yeah, it's ours. It's awesome. It's called Roast and Toast. Yep. That was a really awesome opportunity for us, and we're still rocking and rolling with it. And we have an incredible staff over there. So that was one thing that kind of took us to the next level.
Yep.
In the midst of us doing that, we decided that maybe brunch wasn't the best option for us. We were turning down decorated orders, which is what we started for.
Yeah.
We started to bake baked goods, pastries, decorated cakes and cookies. And with brunch, there wasn't room. We have a small kitchen. We don't have a lot of decorating space. And after we kind of realized that we were maybe putting ourselves out, putting a little bit too much into it, we work 7 days a week.
Yeah.
We were exhausting ourselves.
And not doing what we loved. Brunch was
just
fun.
We loved brunch.
It was a fun adventure, but
loved it.
We did it for seven years.
We did. So seven years, we had a very successful brunch restaurant. But at that point, it became, are we doing what we love, or are we doing this because we started it to make money? That's the only reason we chose to do it. And then we got to a point where we didn't feel like it was turning enough of a profit with the cost of goods going up and employees. And there just wasn't a way for us to make it what we wanted unless we went full brunchery and took a step back from baking.
Yeah. And that just wasn't
talked about
strength
it, but it was not.
That's
what
we didn't
wanted.
Show up to cook brunch. We showed up to make baked goods. And now we finally reached that point in business where we could.
And it's missed. And it's missed by lots of people here in town. It's missed by our regulars. It's missed by us. We did really enjoy doing it, but it just came to a point where we couldn't continue that. And that was a massive turning point for our business.
It was.
And in that became, we have to rebrand. We can no longer have the brunchery to our name. It's confusing. It's still confusing for people coming downtown.
It is. And once you put something online, you can never take it off. So there's people that come in and they're like, but you have brunch photos. And we're like, from
years ago.
A year ago.
Yes.
Yeah. It's no longer relevant. But
always that transition.
Transition is hard.
Yeah.
And in the midst of the transition from that, we got one of our best girlfriends runs our social media. And she's fantastic. She has a beautiful eye for all things design in general.
She's wonderful.
And she has just taken our social media and ran with it. She's helping us rebrand. She's come up with everything.
It's incredible. She's incredible.
It's really made a huge difference in how we see our business because we're so set with the logo that we kind of started with. So now it's a bigger turning point and we're remodeling the space and rebranding and trying to up it. We want to be the space that you want to come and hang out, not just a downtown spot that you maybe want to drive to.
We're growing up.
You're growing
up. Yeah, we're growing up.
Eight years later.
Yeah,
yes. There we are.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey.
It is a journey.
Evolution takes time.
One of the things that you hit on, and there's been a lot of like thread lines, I think, of great advice to small business owners. One is sometimes you just have to take a step back, evaluate your business. Don't just keep doing the same things because historically that's what you did.
Sure.
When it doesn't make sense any longer for the business. And so I applaud you for making that decision because those are tough, really tough small business decisions to make. Let's talk a little bit about the community. You already mentioned a lot of things where the business is engaged in with other civic groups or nonprofit organizations, but you could have been in lots of different spaces around Amarillo. And I wonder if you could talk about why here? Why downtown? Why Center City?
Okay, so that's going to go back to 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I moved here from North Carolina. And in North Carolina, I had just won that episode of Cupcake Wars, and I was ready to take my business to the next level. I was married to a Marine, and he was selected to go recruiting duty. And that means that you pack up your whole family and you move to a place that you've probably never been to. And I didn't want to leave. I was so afraid that if I left that I was giving up the biggest pieces of myself that I had worked so hard to achieve and that I personally identified with. And so I felt like being removed from the location in which I had worked so hard at and worked at farmers markets and won that huge, awesome episode of Cupcake Wars, I had to move. And I made the decision to move with my family. So 6 months after I won that episode of Cupcake Wars, I moved to Amarillo. And I had sort of resigned that I was going to be successful no matter what, no matter where I went, and no matter how I was going to do it, I was absolutely going to do it the way in which I wanted to do it. Now, my first step was to come downtown, because to me, that was the life force of every city that I've ever been to, was this bustling hub of arts and socials and community in a downtown. And when I moved here and I drove through downtown, I remember just crying that there wasn't what I was looking for, crying that there wasn't that. And so over the course of, and I did it regardless. I did it, quote unquote, knowing better, if you will. But I happened to meet Joe Bob McCart, and he was, he owned the building at the time, and he has passed since.
Due to COVID.
But when I met a person that believed in me and believed in what I was doing, and he helped me find a cool location, and that happened to be downtown, and we stayed downtown together.
Oh, well, Nikki had the space, yep. And the space was great. It was just the one portion of it at that time where the kitchen is. And she had everything. I mean, the equipment,
we were ready to go.
Everything was here already. It didn't make sense to look elsewhere.
To spend more money on a location that could have been better suited. And we've looked. I mean, we've legitimately considered not closing this space, but opening a second location possibly.
In a busier part of town.
Amarillo is, I'm grateful to be back in the state of Texas again, just because I grew up in Texas and the people in Texas are just, they're just different. I don't know if anybody's realized that, but it's my home state. So being back home and being able to bring what I love to do in a home in which I've created, because Amarillo isn't my hometown, if you will, but it is my home. I've raised my kids here. But she and I chose to stay downtown, and we choose to stay downtown because we do see it changing. It is changing every single day. Yes. I remember the Barfield across the street was a home for homeless people, vagrants, and foxes.
For years.
Years. And it was just this dilapidated old building, and there was always rumors of an uprising and everybody coming in and putting their money into downtown.
And it never happened.
And so over the course of 10 years, we've watched it take place. Beth Duke has done a number on this downtown. I can't tell you how amazing it is to drive downtown every single day and see the evolution in business and evolution in youth and livelihood and arts. And you can come downtown now and have a nice night out with your significant other or take the girls out and have fun. And now we own two businesses downtown.
Yes.
And so this is, we do it because nobody else is doing it.
Yes.
Nobody else is willing to do it. And so we're the only bakery downtown, and that's how it works for us.
Let's talk about sort of the future of the business. As you look out a few years, where are you going from here?
Sure. She and I are sitting on a beach and we're drinking coconut
and
water straight from coconuts.
Maybe not that far.
Yeah.
You know, a few days a week.
I think that she and I, we've got some goals.
We definitely have goals with the business. First and foremost, I think it's making it what we really want it to be. Mm-hmm. I think at this point.
Sorry. Both cameras shut down.
You're good.
Sorry, Matt. It's okay. I like to think that you're in some ways building that connective tissue between, like, you're
yes.
an anchor point here in the financial district to connect to that experience on Route 66. So
sure. We would love to be.
That's the goal.
Well, congratulations for everything that you've accomplished up to this point, but I know you're going to accomplish so much more.
Yes.
Thanks so much for being on the show, of course.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
And now I'm going to eat this big pile of Pop-Tarts behind me. I just got to be for real here.
That's okay.
I'm going to get you a glass of milk. Is the milk okay? Almond?
It'll bring me back to my childhood. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having
us.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Nikki Fleetwood and Mackenzie Hodges, owners of Scratch Made Bakery in Amarillo, Texas. Of special note, I finally recovered from my sugar coma post homemade Pop-Tart and coconut cream pie mass consumption event. And as I reflected beyond that on our discussion, there were numerous lessons and insights throughout. But my big takeaway is really that I suspect so many other small business owners struggle with this particular issue. How to stop doing something that isn't essentially moving the needle on your business. I think electing to stop the brunch service, a part of their business that so many customers enjoyed and in fact was part of their original business name, had to be so difficult. But the reality was, while it was doing okay, there were valuable opportunity costs in not having more time to focus on their baking and sort of building that aspect of the business out, which was really their true passion, the reason behind the business, and the value add to the business. I think an important takeaway from all of this is that not all growth has the same value. So always be sure that your value proposition is intrinsically linked to your brand identity and unique competitive advantages. So as always, if you're a business owner and likewise to my place professional colleagues, I hope this episode has provided plenty of new insight, solution, and inspiration. And as consumers, please continue to support your local small businesses and tell their stories. They're so important to our local and national economies, and most importantly, they provide and promote quality of living to all the places we call home. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Please remember to check out a new film version of this podcast on our Main Street America YouTube channel. Thanks for listening. Please rate and review us, and as always, be sure to subscribe and tell your friends, family, neighbors, and colleagues. So you can catch me on the next episode when I'll be in Emporia, Kansas, chatting with a name that's probably very familiar to our Main Street Network listeners, Casey Woods, who's the executive director of the Emporia Main Street program. We'll be focusing in on Casey's work in establishing Main Street as a social venture with unique revenue models through product and service offerings that further position Main Street as central to the region's entrepreneurial ecosystem. Don't miss it. We'll see you then, and thanks for all the support.